This Time Next Year by Janie Ohio. Chapter 1. This Time Next Year. December 2019.
Harry, your invitation had a plus one, you know.
Sighing, Neville handed Harry the bowls for the crisps and pretzels they were opening. His eyes fell to Harry's black trousers and simple red jumper with an obvious examination. Harry wanted to run a self-conscious hand through his hair, but it had taken 20 minutes to get his short curls tidied just right.
What happened to Benjamin?
Boring, Harry grumbled, pouring the crisps into the bowl. I mean, he was perfectly nice and sweet and shit, but gods, there was just no spice. None. Do you know, we never had a disagreement in the 3 months we were seeing each other.
Neville laughed. So, you were too compatible?
Not at all. Too alike.
Pansy came up behind them and wrapped her arms around Neville's back.
Potter wouldn't be happy with someone he couldn't fight with, love. Isn't that how you told me you knew things weren't good with him and Ginny? They'd stopped fighting.
Neville raised his eyebrow and glanced at Harry, who simply shrugged.
I like to be challenged. Anyway, I didn't want to worry about entertaining anyone tonight. I just want to relax and see my friends and just be.
Harry handed the bowl of crisps to Pansy, gave her a quick peck on the cheek before grabbing a beer and leaving the kitchen. He looked around the large sitting room, decorations of pine and holly tastefully placed around the windows, fireplace, and shelves. Fairy lights twinkled throughout, giving the impression of a gentle glow. The oversized Christmas tree, the centerpiece of the room, with its red and golden decorations, was surrounded on all sides by low seats, cushions, and sofas. The seating around the large fireplace was more isolated, with small love seats separated by smaller trees to offer privacy. A house elf walked by with a tray, a small Santa hat perched upon her head, her ears protruding through the top.
Thank you, Winky, Harry said, taking a plate and adding a couple of stuffed mushrooms. These look delicious.
You's very welcome, Harry Potter, sir. Winky be back soon with some Bakewell tarts.
Harry grinned. I love those. Definitely find me, will you?
Winky beamed and nodded, her ears bobbing up and down, before moving on. Harry looked around the room, slowly beginning to fill with friends and acquaintances. He knew most of the people there so far. In the corner, Dean and Seamus were sprawled across a sofa, Seamus's head on Dean's shoulder. They had a toddler and a relatively young baby at home, and they'd told Harry they were looking forward to a wild and crazy night out at this party. They didn't look wild and crazy at the moment, though. Just exhausted. Harry chuckled to himself and remembered those days fondly, thankful for the years of sleep he'd gotten since that allowed him to reminisce. He wouldn't choose to be back in the thick of it for anything. Three teenagers brought on enough sleepless nights on their own. To Dean and Seamus's right, a group of women danced, singing and laughing together in a way that broadcast that they were all half-pissed already. Harry was pretty sure he knew some of them, but they weren't part of his general circle of friends, so he didn't pay too much attention and moved on. A hand fell on his shoulder.
Hey, mate, are you going to just stand there and observe all night, or get out there and mingle?
On his other side, someone took his arm.
It is a party, Harry.
Harry rolled his eyes at the expected interruption, then leaned down to give Hermione a kiss on the cheek.
Not a party until you're here, love.
Hey, lips off my woman, Ron growled, making Harry laugh.
Mine now. You had your chance.
Harry dropped his voice playfully, making sure Ron could still hear him.
Run away with me, Hermione. We'll find an island in the Caribbean and fuck off entirely.
Oh, Harry, that sounds lovely,
she said, her voice perfectly serious, but her eyes sparkling.
But I have work on Monday. Maybe next year.
Well, shit. I guess I should be here to get the kids off the train next week anyway.
Ron punched Harry's arm, then plucked the beer out of Harry's hands and took a swallow.
Oss. So who all is here?
He put his arm around his wife as he scanned the room.
That's what I was trying to figure out when you interrupted me, you tosser.
Dean and Seamus are over there, trying to have fun, but worrying about the kids. Neville and Pansy are around somewhere, but I haven't seen anyone else.
Hermione hummed, taking a glass of wine from a waiter with a tray passing by.
Luna, Rolf, Ginny, and Oliver are on the other side of the tree over there.
She glanced at Harry.
She's already on her third drink, so...
Right. Thanks for the heads up, Harry said, groaning quietly. He loved his ex-wife. She was the mother of his children and part of his history, part of whom he'd become. But they made much better friends than lovers, and while they still got along well, even after the divorce, she had a tendency to get mean with him whenever she drank. Every argument they'd ever had would reemerge, and he'd learned several years ago that it was just better to not be near her when she had a glass in her hand.
Hermione nodded.
Oliver promised to distract her and steer her away from you so you could enjoy the party.
Thank Merlin for huge favors, Ron muttered. Wood always was a good bloke.
Harry smiled.
The kids seemed to have finally accepted him. It only took 3 years.
Enough of that, Hermione interrupted. We're here for a Christmas party.
She handed Harry her wine and took Ron's hand, drawing him over to the dance floor.
Dance with me.
So bossy.
Ron's amused voice drifted to Harry as they walked away, making Harry smile. The steadiness of his best friend's relationship was like a rock in his life. They'd always been solid, in a way he and Ginny hadn't been. Ron and Hermione bickered and argued and made up, and they loved each other completely. They had a connection he envied. Harry started to wander the room, sipping at Hermione's wine and stopping to greet friends, being introduced to those he didn't know, fully aware he'd not remember their names later. He was terrible with names. But it was all nice and pleasant and... dull. He made his way to the fireplace, intent on taking a seat on one of the love seats and watching the flames for a bit.
Harry?
Harry looked up and smiled.
Draco Malfoy, fancy meeting you here.
Draco sat back, his left leg across his right, and his arm propped up on the arm of the sofa with a drink in his hand. He held it up to Harry in a toast.
Yes, imagine that. I'm at my best friend's holiday party.
Harry laughed and gestured to the seat next to Draco on the small sofa.
Mind if I sit here? Or is the seat already taken?
Harry looked around to see if someone else was nearby.
It's not taken, and you can sit if you like. I wanted to talk to you about the boys, anyway.
Harry smiled and took in Draco's relaxed demeanor.
Are you ready for Scorp to be home? I love it when they're back, but teenagers are exhausting.
Draco let out a soft hum of agreement.
The manor feels so empty with him gone. I can't imagine what it must feel like for you.
Well, even when they're home, they're at their mom's part of the time, so I'm used to it. But yeah, it's unnerving. Harry turned his head and stared into the flames of the fire.
Indeed, Draco agreed quietly.
They both sat in comfortable silence. It was odd the way Draco and he were now. With Albus and Scorpius being best mates, Harry and Draco had found their way past civility to casual friendliness over the intervening 4 years. They'd shared conversations clearing up childhood differences and sincere apologies of serious transgressions. He wouldn't call Draco a mate as such, but, well, Harry found him comfortable enough at the moment.
"Al says Scorp isn't going to his mother's this holiday," Harry asked when Draco remained quiet.
Al didn't talk much with Harry beyond the basics. 14-year-olds weren't the most forthcoming, but Harry's curiosity had been bothering him. He couldn't imagine not seeing his children at any opportunity.
Draco took a swallow of his whiskey and let out a little growl. "No. She's sent him some money and a card and asked me to buy something for him from her."
Harry's heart clenched for Scorpius. He was a sweet kid and really didn't deserve to be completely ignored by his mother. But according to Al, he was.
"Are you going to do that?"
Draco stared at Harry, his steel-gray eyes narrowing as the seconds passed.
"Am I going to buy my son a gift and put his mother's name on it?"
Harry nodded, curious.
Of course I am. He'd be heartbroken to know Astoria didn't even care to think about what he wanted. I don't know what possessed me to marry such a cold-hearted bitch, but...
He turned his face back to the fire and took a drink.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to upset you. I just really like Scorp. And I do worry about him a bit.
Thank you. He likes you too.
He says you always treat him like one of your own.
He met Harry's eyes.
You don't have to be as generous as that, especially given whose son he is. So, I thank you.
Harry turned and pulled a leg up onto the couch, letting his arm drape over the back, his hand coming close to Draco's shoulder.
No thanks needed. We're past that, aren't we?
Harry let out a sigh, and it was louder than he intended.
It's hard enough parenting teenagers. I have no idea how the Weasleys did it with Seven, but every time I see Scorp, I remember what it meant to me to be considered one of Molly and Arthur's own. I want him to feel that comfortable with us.
A smile crossed Draco's lips.
He does.
He ran a hand through his hair, and the twinkling lights reflecting off his pale hair was mesmerizing.
So, you didn't bring a date? This is the 5th year they've thrown this party, and I'm pretty sure you usually come with somebody by your side.
Harry shrugged.
I'm not with anyone right now, and I didn't feel like worrying about having an actual date tonight. I just wanted to relax.
He cocked his head and grinned.
You?
Draco laughed.
Same, actually. I broke up with someone several months ago, and haven't been in the mood to go through all the work of getting to know someone again. It's tedious.
Cheers, Harry said, agreeing with a laugh and tilting his nearly empty glass.
Bugger, do you want another drink?
Yes, please. Ogden's.
Harry left to get them both another drink and watched Draco sitting by the fire.
He looked amazing.
His blonde hair was short, but had a stylish swoop in the front that made Harry want to reach out and run his fingers through it. He'd grown a short beard in the last year, and it made his angular jaw look more defined. It was neatly trimmed and several shades darker than the hair on his head, allowing a few gray hairs to peek through. His deep blue button-up shirt highlighted his slim build, and honestly, the more Harry looked at him, the more he was finding himself attracted. Which was crazy, right? He'd found Draco handsome before, but he was never actually attracted to the other wizard. Yeah, okay, usually one or the other of them were in a relationship, but still, there really hadn't been anything there. So what was this he was feeling tonight? He handed Draco his drink and sat back down, determined to figure it out. Three and a half hours later, they were still in the same place. Occasionally, someone would wander by and talk to them before moving on, or Winky would bring food or refill their drinks, but otherwise, they were left alone. They spent the time arguing about Quidditch and debating the latest bills that had been presented to the Wizengamot. They talked about books they were reading, Harry's job teaching Muggle primary school, and Draco's work consulting on case law for Hermione at the Ministry. Harry found it fascinating that their opinions and experiences were so different, but were still congruent. They could argue their points, but it was fun, not hostile. They also discussed mutual friends, and Teddy, and the Weasleys, and Narcissa, and asked each other for advice about parenting. Draco's ideas made him laugh, but they also made him think, and maybe reconsider some of his approaches with Albus. It was like no conversation Harry had ever had. With anyone. Ever. Harry was enchanted.
So the entire show is people gathering in a tent and baking tarts and breads and stuff.
Draco pointed to the tart in his hand before popping it into his mouth.
And there's no arguing or drama or anything?
Draco shook his head and finished chewing.
No, it's crazy. Well, there was this one episode where a bloke had a tantrum over melted ice cream, but mostly it's just baking.
And you like it?
It's
Draco gestured his hands around as though he were going to grab a word out of the air.
It's relaxing. And ridiculously addictive.
Harry laughed.
I'll have to try it. Stop with the older ones. It'll grow on you.
Right, Harry said with a smirk, and then looked down at his watch.
Bloody hell, it's 2 in the morning.
What?
Draco's eyes widened, and they both suddenly noticed most of the room had cleared out, with only a few really drunk people left dancing or snogging. Pansy and Neville were nowhere to be seen.
I probably should be getting home.
Harry felt his stomach clench with something reminiscent of panic as Draco stood up.
Wait, Draco.
Draco hesitated.
Yes?
Harry stood up, looked into Draco's eyes, and stepped closer.
I had a really nice time tonight.
Draco smiled.
Me too.
And I think I'd like to walk you home. A laugh escaped from Draco's lips, drawing Harry's attention. He found he didn't want to look at anything else. Draco's laugh died away and his tongue darted out.
I rather think I'd like you to walk me home, actually.
Yeah?
Yes. But Potter?
Yes, Malfoy?
I was going to apparate home, not walk to Wiltshire from London.
Well, shit, Harry muttered.
Right. I can walk you home, though. Islington is only about 15 minutes.
Harry grinned.
Yeah.
The cold air made their breath visible as they walked close together, their arms brushing with every step. Neither moved apart nor spoke much, and Harry was painfully aware of each movement Draco made. They turned down a residential street towards Grimmauld Place and passed into a dark patch between two lights. Suddenly, Harry couldn't take it any longer. He stopped, and Draco paused next to him.
Harry?
Harry took a deep breath and stepped close, his chest brushing Draco's. When the other man didn't retreat, Harry reached his hand up to Draco's shoulder.
Draco,
he murmured, looking up into the man's gray eyes. Draco leaned in closer, his warm breath smelling like whiskey and orange, and Harry felt his body stir. They stood that way for what felt like forever, neither moving. Later, Harry wouldn't be sure who made the final move, or if they'd done it at the same time, but suddenly, Draco's lips were on Harry's, his tongue was tracing Harry's mouth, his hands were in Harry's hair, his beard was under Harry's hands, and his body was pressing into Harry's. Harry opened his mouth, and Draco plunged, and Harry's whole world clicked into place.
And then there was a wall.
Harry wasn't sure if it had been there the entire time, or if Draco had some secret, wordless, wandless conjuring spell, but Harry was shoved against it, Draco grinding into him, and Harry was pushing back.
Merlin, it all felt perfect.
Draco, Harry managed to get out when Draco moved his lips to Harry's neck, making Harry's toes curl.
Draco, we can't do this here. My house is just a bit farther.
Don't want this night to end,
Draco murmured into Harry's ear.
It won't, Harry got out, his voice sounding breathless.
He rolled his hips forwards and made his cock brush Draco's, setting both of them groaning.
Let's go, Draco said with a gasp.
You'll have to stop kissing me if we're going to walk, Harry said, laughing.
No.
Grinning, Harry pushed Draco back and took his hand, feeling like a kid pulling him by the hand down the street. They got to the gate of number 12, and Harry pulled it open, his hand still around Draco's. They were both quiet as they approached the door.
Draco? Harry started, his voice barely a whisper. Would you like to come in?
Draco smiled, his eyes crinkling at the edges.
Yes, most definitely.
Harry felt his heart race as he opened the door and pulled Draco inside. As soon as the door closed behind them, Draco was on Harry again, and this time, Harry didn't hold back even the littlest bit. This man, this interesting, attractive, infuriating man he'd known nearly his entire life, but had never considered as a potential mate. This man felt like home. It was the strangest thing, and although each touch or brush of their hands was new and exciting, it was both familiar and safe, too. Harry dropped his face into Draco's neck and nuzzled into his short beard, then licked, sucked, tasted, smelled. His senses were overwhelmed, and he wanted this to last forever, while simultaneously wanting it to hurry up.
"Where's your bedroom?"
Draco asked with a gasping moan, evidently thinking the same thing.
"I want you."
"How do you want me?" Harry asked, pulling Draco to the stairs. "Because I want you in about 20 different ways, and that's just tonight. We can try the rest another time." Draco began unbuttoning his shirt as he ascended the stairs behind Harry. Harry could feel Draco's eyes on his arse with each step.
"On your knees."
Draco's voice was rough, and Harry turned to him as they reached the landing and grinned.
"So, it's like that, is it?"
He felt a thrill rush through him at the flash of desire in Draco's eyes. Draco suddenly looked unsure and hesitated.
"If you want it to be."
Harry's cock definitely wanted it to be. He stepped into his bedroom, the candles on the wall flaring into life, giving the room a dim, seductive glow. Draco still stood in the hallway, and Harry turned to face him and dropped to his knees.
"Like this?" "Merlin,"
Draco muttered, his eyes wide. He slowly stepped forwards and stood in front of Harry.
"What now?"
Harry asked, dropping his chin and looking up at Draco through his lashes. The immediate lust he'd felt earlier had dimmed, and now he felt anticipation and arousal boost his playfulness. Draco cleared his throat.
"Take off your shirt."
Harry kept his eyes on Draco's as he pulled his jumper over his head and threw it to the side. He let his gaze drop to the noticeable bulge in Draco's trousers. He leaned forward just an inch, then looked back up.
"May I?"
Draco's hand dropped to Harry's head, and Harry felt him wrap a few curls around his fingers.
"Yes."
Harry reached up and unbuckled Draco's belt, opened the trousers and gave them a tug so they'd fall. Leaning forwards, he brushed his nose across the erection that tented Draco's pants. The moan from above made Harry's own cock twitch.
"Can I use my hands?" he said, his mouth brushing against Draco as he spoke. "I think not yet."
Draco's voice was amused and low.
"Be creative."
Harry chuckled, then mouthed over the wet spot on the pants in front of him, causing a loud grunt. Draco thrust slightly, but Harry adjusted with the movement and pulled the clothed prick into his mouth. He gave a long suck, then moved back and grabbed the tented fabric with his teeth. Carefully, he pulled it back and exposed Draco entirely.
"Fuck, Draco,"
Harry said, trying to catch his breath.
"You're beautiful."
And he was, too. Draco's length was long and pink, and his head, peeking through the pale foreskin, was dripping, tantalizing Harry. He couldn't help himself. He leaned forward and licked the tip. Draco made a noise, something between a groan and a yelp, that made Harry grin.
"Sweet Salazar, just fucking suck me, Potter,"
he finally managed, his voice infused with urgency. There was no need to tell Harry again. Still keeping his hands at his side, Harry took Draco wholly into his mouth, luxuriating in the weight of the heavy cock on his tongue and the sweet and bitter flavor of the pre-cum. Harry rolled it around his mouth for a moment and gave a gentle suck before pulling it the rest of the way in, his nose nearly touching the rough blonde hairs at Draco's root. Draco's hands tightened, and Harry pulled back, swirling his tongue around the glands, paying special attention to the slit. He let out a low moan as more pre-cum leaked out onto his tongue, and Draco pulled back, making Harry look up at him with an exaggerated pout.
"On the bed, naked. I need you under me. I want my mouth on your cock."
Harry raised an inquisitive eyebrow.
"But I wasn't done with you." "Did I say you were?"
You're going to continue what you are doing, but this time you can use your hands."
Harry loved Draco bossing him around, which honestly came as rather a surprise to him, but probably shouldn't have. It wasn't something he'd tried before. He'd never really thought of himself as submissive. But it was nice, letting someone else call the shots. It was bloody hot. Harry stood, not letting his eyes fall from Draco's, as he peeled off his own trousers and underwear and strode to the bed. He perched on the side for a moment, making sure Draco was watching him, then spread his knees and backed up until he was lying, stretched out, open and waiting.
"Fuck," Draco said. "You're going to be the fucking death of me, aren't you?"
Harry smirked.
"You talk too much. I wonder if you can keep your clever mouth running while my cock is filling it."
Draco's eyes flashed, and he stepped the rest of the way out of trousers, his shirt sliding from him as he approached. He looked like a predator, and Harry sincerely wanted to be his prey. Draco slowly crawled over Harry, leaned in and caught his lips in a deep kiss, swirling his tongue into Harry's mouth and running a hand down Harry's torso, his light touch making Harry catch his breath. He ran his fingers through the hair around Harry's prick, his wrist brushing the erection, so impatiently waiting for him.
Finally,
Draco wrapped his long fingers around Harry's length, and Harry thrust into his hand, unable to control the movement. Draco leaned back from the kiss, his hand beginning to move up and down Harry's cock. And then, before Harry was aware what was happening, Draco had spun around and thrown his knees onto each side of Harry's head and added his lips into the action. It was so sudden and so smoothly done that Harry nearly screamed at the surprise of the added sensation. Draco's mouth was hot and wet and extremely skilled. Harry was afraid if he thought about the specifics of what he was feeling, he'd come immediately. Instead, he moved his attention to the prick hanging fully erect, inches from his face. He moved his hands up and pulled Draco closer to his face, then tilted his head back and opened his mouth. The angle was difficult, but Draco seemed to get the hint and moved, beginning to fuck into Harry's waiting mouth. His jaw relaxed, and the position let Harry move, running his hands across Draco's bollocks, then further up and across the cleft of his arse. Draco spread his knees further apart in invitation and gave an extra enthusiastic suck, making Harry nearly come. Clearly, Draco liked that idea. Harry spread his hand and did a quick wandless charm, adding lube to his fingers, then returned his hand to the beautifully formed arse above him. He chuckled to himself at the double meaning, which must have clenched his throat around Draco's cock at just the right moment, as Draco fumbled his own movements and pulled off.
"Fuck, Potter, what are you doing to me?"
Harry only moaned as the cold air hit his wet cock and turned his head to the side.
"Do you need me to stop?"
Draco groaned and peered at Harry down the tunnel created by their two bodies. His beard brushed Harry's sensitive erection, making them both shiver. Draco's eyes saw Harry's wet fingers and shook his head.
"Gods, no. Please continue. My apologies for the interruption," he added, his voice haughty, aristocratic, and entirely sexy.
Harry barked out a full laugh this time. How could he have known that Draco would be so much fun in bed? How could he have known that they would work this well together? Instead of an answer, however, Harry moved his finger up and began to circle Draco's hole. Draco dropped his head for a moment on Harry's thigh and repositioned his hips to be better accessible from Harry's position. It took his cock out of Harry's range, but it gave him the opportunity to really work Draco. He could see now, the beautiful pink pucker peeking at him between two perfectly shaped arse cheeks. Harry leaned forward and gave each cheek a little nip. Draco seemed to enjoy that, so Harry filed the knowledge away for later, as well as the knowledge that there would be a later. Because of that, he was sure. But now his finger slipped into Draco's tight heat. Harry felt as though it were consuming him as he pushed in to his knuckle, then withdrew and pushed again. Draco's moans grew louder, the man's mouth now free and just lending light mouthing kisses across Harry's cock.
He began to thrust backwards onto Harry's finger, and soon Harry felt confident that he could add a second. Draco's answering noises reassured him, and then he found it. He brushed the bundle of nerves he'd been searching for, and Draco let out a shout of surprise. Harry felt himself leak at the sound. Draco's mouth captured Harry's prick again, and Harry picked up a matching pace, reveling in the squelching and moans and slurps that permeated the room. He could feel himself getting close as Draco took him deep, swallowing around him. He had just enough presence of mind to increase his own attention to Draco's beautiful hole, but Draco's vibrating groan around Harry's cock was too much. His balls tightened, and the tingling onslaught of orgasm rushed through his groin. He tried to pull away, tried to warn Draco, but the man simply sucked harder, pulling Harry deeper into his throat, swallowing as Harry unloaded for what felt like minutes. When he was finished, Draco pulled away and rested his head back onto Harry's thigh, then gave a little wiggle of his arse, where Harry had gone still. Right, Draco had been close, too. Now that Harry was no longer distracted, he pulled Draco closer, using his free hand to land on Draco's cock, while his other plunged and rubbed and twisted. The renewed force had Draco making a sound that Harry would privately consider a whine, but as he wanted to do this again, many times again, actually, he swore never to mention it. It was a beautiful whine, though, so Harry pulled Draco closer to his face and sucked at a testicle. The added attention was enough. Draco's whine became a scream, and he came, clenching down on Harry's fingers and spilling over Harry's chest and hand. Harry kept moving until Draco quieted, whimpered, and pulled away.
"Okay, okay, stop."
He rolled over and collapsed on his side, his legs still stretched out by Harry's head.
"Cersei's tits, Potter. What the fuck was that?"
Harry chuckled and scooted down closer, turning his own body so it sprawled across the bed and he could rest his head on Draco's stomach.
"Whatever it was, we need to keep doing it."
He could feel Draco's stomach clench in laughter, shaking his head up and down.
"Obviously."
Harry felt a thrill rush through him at the agreement. The entire evening had been, well, nearly perfect. It had all felt so right, and the confirmation that Draco agreed.
"Draco,"
Harry said, turning his head to look up at Draco's face. The soft skin of Draco's stomach made Harry want to rub his cheeks across it, but he figured he could save that for another time. He was getting distracted.
Tonight, the entire night, was really, really good.
"Mm-hmm," Draco agreed.
"I'm sorry if this is really quick or whatever, but I'm not 19 anymore, so I'm just going to get to the point. I want to do this again. All of it. Seeing you, spending the evening with you, fucking you."
"Definitely the fucking," Draco said, running his finger along Harry's nipple, making it harder.
"Definitely. But I only want to do that if you're in. All in. We have too much between us for this to be casual."
"Harry," Draco interrupted.
"Shut up. Of course I want in."
He sat up slightly, and Harry could see the earnestness in his gaze.
"And fuck casual."
Harry grinned, then paused.
"The kids."
Draco dropped his head back.
"They'll not mind, I don't think."
"Not mind? They'll be fucking thrilled. But I don't want them to get their hopes up if we decide this isn't right. If it turns out tonight isn't sustainable." Draco nodded and ran a hand through Harry's hair, playing with a curl.
"What if we kept it quiet for a while? Just us. I'd say we could tell our friends, but there's no way this won't get back to the kids if we do. We date, we fuck, and from the outside, we just let them know we've become friends."
"And then?"
"And then," Draco said with a smile, "if this time next year comes around and we're good, we tell them. It'll give everyone time to get used to the idea of our friendship, and it'll give us time to see if we work. When the kids come home from school for halls next Christmas, we tell them then and spend Christmas together."
Harry considered. A whole year. A whole year of hiding a relationship.
but also a whole year to have Draco just to himself. He finally decided to indulge himself and rubbed his cheek on Draco's stomach. "This time next year, then. And in the meantime, you're mine." Draco grinned.
"That goes both ways, you know."
Harry sat up and captured Draco's lips in a kiss. "Do you think we'll be here, doing this, a year from now?"
"Is that a challenge?" Draco asked, cocking an eyebrow.
"Always."
This Time Next Year by Janie Ohio. Chapter 2. 1 year later. 31st of December, 2020, 5:15 p.m.
"Did you pick up the wine?"
"Potter, what do you take me for? The wine was at the top of my list. I'd sooner forget to drop off the kids at the Borough than to pick up the wine."
Harry laughs and finishes arranging the basket of noisemakers, hats, and crackers on the entry table.
"Sorry, I'm just nervous."
He looks up at the mirror on the wall behind the table to see Draco smile and wrap his arms around Harry's waist.
"I know, and I don't suppose any amount of my telling you this will be fine will help, will it?"
Harry meets the gray eyes in the mirror and feels his stomach relax. He leans back into the embrace.
"Yeah, it will, actually."
He takes a deep breath and rubs his cheek against Draco's beard.
"I love you."
"I know," Draco murmurs, and Harry turns to find Draco's lips. It's a quiet kiss, a kiss of comfort, a promise.
"After today, they'll know," Harry explains unnecessarily. "It's just a little weird."
"Everyone will know. There's no going back afterwards."
Draco hesitates.
"Are you sure about this?"
Draco's face pulls into a smirk, but Harry can see the hints of insecurity around the edges. It's like they pass the anxiety back and forth between them, like a bludger.
"Hey," Harry says, resting his forehead on Draco's. "I'll love you till the day I die."
Draco exhales slowly. It's their phrase, the one they repeat to themselves, to each other, when they need extra reassurance.
"Let's do this. Tomorrow will take care of itself."
Draco straightens his shoulders, and he looks ready. Harry reaches out his hand.
"Together."
"Together."
Draco takes Harry's hand and squeezes.
"Now get out of here before anyone arrives, so you can make your entrance."
Draco grins and apparates away. January 2020. Draco hovered over Harry, riding out the rest of his orgasm, buried in Harry's arse. The sweat dripped from the tip of his nose, and Harry reached up to brush it away.
"Fuck,"
Draco muttered, once he got his powers of speech back. He pulled out slowly, making Harry grunt, then collapsed on his side.
"Yeah,"
Harry agreed. He rolled over and watched Draco for a moment, his eyes drooping.
So, the kids are back at school and stuff."
"Right,"
Draco responded, confused as to why Harry felt that was important to point out. After all, they'd just finished reuniting after their weeks of limited meetings. They'd had 3 amazing evenings together following that first night after Neville and Pansy's party, but then the kids had come home, and it had all come to a stop. Suddenly, by previous agreement, they were back to just being the parents of 2 kids who happened to be best friends. They had their separate holidays, and though Harry had invited Draco to accompany Scorpius over to Grimold Place for dinner once or twice, it was all under the guise of a budding friendship between the 2 older men. And if they slipped into the wine cellar for some groping, or off to the kitchen pantry while the kids were watching a movie and the snacks took a little longer than necessary, The kids didn't seem to notice. There had been one night when the Potter kids had invited Scorpius to Ginny and Oliver's for the night. But other than that, they'd only had stolen looks and a few naughty letters exchanged the entirety of the Hogwarts holidays. So clearly, Draco didn't need to be reminded that the kids were back at school, a fact that would have normally driven him into a mini-depression at the loss of Scorpius for another few months. Instead, he left the train platform in conversation with his son's friend's father, and they'd reconvened in private. He looked over at Harry, his cock still wet from the man's arse.
"Right," Harry continued. "Which means, well, you don't have to leave if you don't want to. You can stay the night."
The room was dark, save for the one lamp burning on the nightstand, casting shadows over Harry's face. But as the statement came out as a question, Draco understood. Harry wanted him to stay the night for the first time.
"I can, can't I?" Draco agreed, then reached up and caught Harry's mouth in a kiss.
He pulled back and roughed his beard along Harry's shoulder blade, making the other man shiver. Draco grinned.
"Go to sleep. I'll stay."
He felt Harry relax and begin to drift off to sleep, but instead of letting his own exhaustion claim him, he just watched. No feature escaped his notice. The gray at Harry's temples that peppered through his dark hair, the long eyelashes that brushed his cheeks, the bump in his nose that Draco thought might actually be from his own boot in sixth year, the soft lips that curved into a slight smile. It took Draco another hour to fall asleep, but once he did, it was a good sleep. Sated. Safe. Content.
December 31st, 2020. 8:30 p.m.
"Harry!" Dean Thomas slings an arm around Harry's shoulders. "Mate, great party!"
Harry laughs. Dean's already pissed, and Seamus isn't far behind him, from the look of him, right behind Dean.
"Thanks, Dean. Did you get something to eat? There's still a few hours until the new year. You need something to soak it all up."
Dean laughs loudly.
"Seamus is making me eat, don't worry. So no date again this year? We're starting to get worried about you. Shay and I were just saying we need to get you laid before you shrivel up like an old man."
Harry rolls his eyes. This isn't the first time he's heard this spiel from a friend in the past months.
"I'm hardly shriveling up. I'm just not interested in meeting anyone right now."
"We're not talking about a relationship, Harry. Just something to wet your whistle, if you get my meaning,"
Seamus adds in as he approaches.
"'Tis unnatural for a man as beautiful as you to go so long."
Harry raises his eyebrows.
"That's a big assumption, Seamus. And you think I'm beautiful? You're making me blush."
Seamus snorts.
"Wanker. Of course you are, and you know it. And assumption, is it? Are you telling me you've been on the pool recently? Do tell."
Harry takes a long draw of his lager and winks.
"I don't think I will, thank you very much. Now I need to mingle with my guests. Go eat something, and no getting sick in my houseplants, Thomas." "One time! And that was almost 20 years ago!"
Dean yells as Harry walks away, chuckling. His eyes scan the room, hoping to land on a particular blonde head, but instead finding Ron, Hermione, Neville, and Pansy congregating together in a corner. Hermione's brow is furrowed as she discusses something with Pansy, the dark-haired woman gesticulating quickly. Neville is nodding along, while Ron simply shakes his head.
"Hey, everyone!" Harry calls out, approaching his friends.
The conversation immediately ceases, and he raises an eyebrow, a gesture he figures he's picked up from Draco.
"Ah, guess I'm interrupting."
He almost laughs at their expressions. Pansy and Hermione have matching looks of irritation, but are watching him closely. But Ron looks guilty, and Neville amused.
"I'll just..."
"Happy New Year's, everybody!" A voice interrupts from behind Harry. "Weasley, Hermione, Longbottom, Pans. Party looks great, Harry."
Harry turns and meets Draco's grey eyes, smothering a grin at the flash of amusement he sees. He wonders if the others caught it as well. Probably only Pansy knows Draco well enough to recognize it.
"Thanks for coming, Draco."
Harry watched Hermione's eyes narrow again as he and Draco shake hands and clasp shoulders. He knows she's suspicious, but, well, she can wait a few more hours.
Hopefully.
"So, what have I missed?" Draco innocently asks, and this time Pansy scowls.
"Just this bunch here going all silent as I walked up. I think they're up to something."
Ron spits out his drink all over Hermione at that, and the ensuing fight is enough for Harry to make his exit, but not before running a finger over Draco's wrist as he walks away. Only a little more than 3 hours left.
March 2020.
Harry stepped out of the flu at Grimmauld Place, glanced at the clock and winced. He'd been gone over 2 hours this time, and he was sure Draco wasn't going to be happy. They'd been half-naked and snogging on the sofa when the call came in. Molly needed his help. This was the fifth time in the last 3 weeks they'd been interrupted by a request from various Weasleys. Normally, before Draco, Harry would happily have dropped whatever he was working on for the evening. Grading papers for his Year 5 class, writing letters to his kids, fixing up something around the house, watching the telly, and helped with anything requested. The Weasleys had done so much for him over the years, and he wanted to help them back. So if Molly needed help fixing something around the burrow, or Arthur needed another set of hands in his workshop, or George needed someone to man the shop for a few hours, or Ron and Hermione needed a babysitter, Harry was there. It wasn't their fault they didn't know he had something else, someone else, that kept him busy now. Still, Harry held out hope that Draco had stayed, that he was there at Grimmauld Place still, to yell at him. They could have the pudding they'd skipped earlier, watch Bake Off, and still have an enjoyable evening. Instead, the house was empty. Fuck. Harry turned back to the flu and threw in some powder, then called out the address to Draco's private library at the manor. Instead of turning green, however, the fire flashed red, a sure sign that the flue was locked, maybe to everyone, or maybe just to Harry. Really, did it matter which? Either way, Draco was pissed off. Grabbing his cloak, Harry stepped out into the garden and apparated to Wiltshire. When the house elf, Libby, barely acknowledged him as she escorted him to the formal parlor, Harry knew he was in trouble. However, he didn't know which boded worse, her overall behavior or the fact that he was relegated to the formal visiting rooms.
"Potter," Draco's voice came from the doorway after several minutes. There'd been no offer of refreshment by Libby, nor taking of his cloak. Harry turned from the window where he stood examining the night.
"Draco, I'm so sorry," Harry started as soon as Draco was fully in the room. "I didn't realize how long it took, and you have every reason to be upset."
Draco simply stared at him, one eyebrow raised. Harry took a deep breath. This was going to be harder than he thought.
"Please, come back with me. We were having such a good evening, and..."
"And you ran off at the first crook of the finger by the Weasleys. Honestly, Potter, I do have some self-respect. Do you really expect me to continue in a relationship where I'm always last?"
Harry opened his mouth to respond, but nothing came out.
"Last?"
Draco stalked into the room, his chin held high in that way that normally drove Harry wild. Right now, though, Harry could tell that it was hiding something instead.
"Oh, don't look so shocked, and don't you dare tell me I'm being unreasonable. I'm not saying that when there's a real family need, that they aren't important, but are you telling me that tonight's call was an emergency?"
It wasn't. He knew that, and yes, he was annoyed that Molly had called him away from his lovely evening to get his help rearranging the pantry. But what was he supposed to say to her? Harry shook his head at Draco.
"No, but they're used to my helping them."
Draco threw his arms up in the air.
"And that's the problem.
They don't even try to think about how to do it without you, or if you're busy. They just ask and know you'll be there. Every fucking time. But no, Harry. If it were summer and you had the kids around, what would they do? Well, I don't know. They generally don't ask when the kids are home. Exactly. Draco advanced on Harry and poked his shoulder. They take advantage of you, and you let them. And when it's just your own time, then fine, whatever, do what you want. But it's not just yours now. It's ours. Draco, it was ours, Harry. And I know they don't know about me, about us, but you deserve to be able to date, and if this is what you've been doing to your dates all this time, then it's no wonder things weren't working out. Now wait just a damned minute, Harry got out, finally pissed off himself. That's uncalled for, and you know it. And I like helping them. I owe them. You owe them? Draco's voice sounded cold now. For being fucking decent human beings. Do you think Scorp owes you for your kindness when he's around? For how you treat him like he's one of yours? Harry stumbled back a step, stunned. What? No, of course not. So how the fuck do you owe them? Harry stopped and considered. Draco was twisting things, and it wasn't what he meant. Look, I know I don't owe them, but they helped me when I needed it, so I help them when they need it. Draco rolled his eyes. And Molly needs you to rearrange the fucking pantry in the same way you needed her to keep you fed as a 12-year-old, right? Harry was tired of this. Fine, I'm fucking wrong and you're right. What do you want from me? Draco was silent until Harry met his eyes. They'd softened, and when he spoke, his voice was gentler. I want you to say that this thing we're doing, this relationship, is more important than every random whim from your extended family. I'm not expecting you to ignore them in an emergency or when they truly need you, but I want you to believe that this is important too, and certainly more important than organizing a pantry on a Tuesday night. Harry considered. When Draco put it like that, it made a lot of sense. But he'd been doing this for a long time, and he'd set certain expectations. They're still going to ask. They're used to me saying yes. Draco nodded. They will. And you'll need to learn to deal with that. Ask them what they need, and offer another time to help them when we're not about to shag. A laugh escaped Harry's throat, and Draco smiled in response. I'm sorry about that. Like, really sorry. Draco leaned forwards and hesitated, his mouth almost brushing Harry's. Yes, you are. Because I was going to do naughty things to you. But now, you'll just have to wait until Friday, because it's late and I'm exhausted. Harry let out a groan. Can I stay over at least? Draco shook his head. Not this time. Libby's in a snit with you, and I can't guarantee what she'll do. Harry's eyes moved to the door, where he had a feeling Libby was waiting outside. Right. Well, I guess I'll see you Friday, then. Draco's lips met his for a relatively chaste kiss, then pulled back. Friday. And Potter? No Weasleys. Harry stepped towards the door and nodded. Promise. December 31st, 2020, 9:15 p.m.
Harry, are you even listening to me?
Mm-hmm. You broke the washing machine, Harry mutters, watching Draco throw his head back in that way he loves. Pansy must have said something funny, and Draco's Adam's apple is bobbing, and his eyes are sparkling. The golden fairy lights around the room make his hair seem to glow.
Oh, for fuck's sake, Harry James Potter! If you like him, just go talk to him, yes?
Hermione's voice takes on an amused tone, even if she sounds annoyed at his lack of attention. Harry looks back at her and blinks. What do you mean? I don't like your washing machine.
There's been absolutely no mention of a washing machine, not even anything close. I've been talking about education legislation coming up before the Wizengamot,
and you've not paid a bit of attention to any of it."
She raises her eyebrows expectantly.
"Shit. Sorry. It's hard to hear with all the background noise. You know how bad my hearing is these days."
He gives her his most charming smile, and she rolls her eyes.
"And it has nothing to do with your pining for Draco Malfoy?"
That caught his attention.
"That's ridiculous."
"And it is. It's kind of hard to pine when you've been shagging the bloke for over a year, and you're in a committed relationship together."
"Right. So you haven't been staring at him all night, and talking about your wonderful friendship for months, and refusing to go on dates when perfectly nice people are available and interested, and—"
Harry chokes a little, and forces it out into a laugh, then considers. She'll know the truth in a few hours. He just needs to make it a little longer.
"Fine. Maybe I'm pining a bit."
Her eyes go gooey and all Hermione on him.
"Oh, Harry, I didn't expect you to admit it. How long?"
Harry shrugs, trying to put on his best sad puppy dog eyes.
"Too long, I guess. Do you think he knows?"
He's trying not to laugh, as he's certain Draco knows. He had Harry's cock in his mouth less than 12 hours ago.
"I don't know. Do you want me to ask Pansy?"
"No," Harry nearly shouts, and Hermione laughs. "No, not tonight, anyway. Maybe soon."
"You seem to be really good friends these days. Friendship is always a good foundation, you know."
"You don't say," Harry says, nudging her elbow with his own. "So, how's old married sex these days?" She grins.
"Getting kinkier by the year. We have to keep it interesting somehow."
Harry drops his face into his palm, disgusted that she bested him and made him blush.
"Fuck, I deserved that." "Yup, but it doesn't make it any less true. Now what can we do to help you with your little problem?"
Harry listens as Hermione plans. Draco is going to love this when Harry tells him the story later.
May 2020.
"Harry, wait,"
Isabel Reese said when Harry passed the Year 4 classroom. It was a Friday, and he was ready to be home for the weekend. He had dinner plans with Ron and Hermione, then intended to spend the better part of the following 2 days in bed with Draco.
"Hey, Isabel, is something wrong?"
She laughed and tucked her hair behind her ear, a slight blush covering her cheeks.
No, nothing wrong. I just, well," she stammered, looking down at the floor, then finally met his eyes.
"My brother is having a party tomorrow evening, and I was wondering if you wanted to go with me."
Harry's stomach clenched with dread. Fuck, he hated this part. He liked Isabel, and if things had been different, a night out with her would have been fun. But as it was, he needed an excuse. He pasted a half-smile on his face and hoped he came across as just nice and bland. And then he realized the truth might actually serve him well in this case. He was so used to lying about it that it felt strange to say the real reason out loud.
"I'm flattered you thought to ask me, Izzy, but, well, I'm kind of seeing someone. We're not really telling people yet, but I don't think they'd like it if I were to go out with somebody else."
Her face started to fall at his refusal, then lit up at the idea that he was seeing someone. She really was a lovely woman.
"Oh, Harry, that's wonderful. I mean, I'm sorry you can't go out with me, but I'm so glad you've found someone."
She put her hand on his arm and gave him a little squeeze.
"And, you know, if you ever change your mind, I'm right next door, classroom-wise."
Harry laughed and took a step back.
"Thanks. Have a good weekend."
He turned and headed out to his car, tossed his bag onto the passenger seat, and slid behind the wheel. Yes, he could apparate, but it was a muggle school, and not close enough to public transport that they'd expect him to walk. Instead, he used the time between the school and the car park to unwind. While he was driving, his mobile rang. He pressed the hands-free button.
"Hello?"
"Harry, make sure you're dressed nice tonight for dinner."
Hermione's voice was short and slightly clipped like it usually was when she was calling with directions.
"Hermione?"
Harry said carefully. We're just going to the pub.
I know, but you never know who you'll see while you're there. Wear that green jumper I got you for Christmas, and those black jeans. You know the ones.
Irritation bubbled in the back of his throat. The ones you said scream, fuck me?
Yes,
Hermione said, and Harry could hear the evasion in her voice now, loud and clear.
See you at the pub at 7.
She ended the call, and Harry wanted to curse. Hey, Siri, call Ron.
Calling Ron,
came the mechanical voice, and Harry waited.
Hey, mate, Ron answered. Ready for the pub tonight?
Harry could hear the sound of the shop in the background. Weasley's Wizard Wheeze's sounds were pretty distinctive.
I could really use a pint.
Well, I was ready, Harry spat out, but I get the feeling Hermione's up to something. Did she tell you what? Ron paused, and the silence grew heavy.
Well, I don't know. She's weird, you know. Hey, look, I'd better go if I'm going to be done in time. See you soon.
Harry pulled into the car park and turned off the motor. He cursed his so-called friends as he gathered his bag and locked the car, then stepped behind the attendance booth and apparated home. Walking up to his room, he noticed little glimpses of Draco's presence scattered across the house. Draco's mug from that morning sitting in the sink. Draco's favorite throw blanket on the back of the sofa. Draco's clothes in Harry's closet and spare drawer. Draco's toothbrush in the bathroom. All signs to remind Harry that this wasn't all some mad fever dream, that he was, indeed, in a secret relationship with Draco Malfoy. Days like this sometimes had him questioning his sanity. Which was how he found himself 2 hours later in an awkward, unplanned, on his part, blind date with a man who wouldn't keep his hands to himself. Hermione's work acquaintance from the DMLE's records division was not only tediously boring, but he liked to touch. A hand on Harry's arm, a brush of knees, even fucking footsie under the table. The man had no idea how to take a hint. Harry kept moving away, gradually moving his chair closer and closer to Ron and farther away from Maxwell. It should have been a dead giveaway, but the man just scooted closer. Sooner or later, Harry would end up in Ron's lap. Harry shot daggers at Hermione, who kept bringing up topics that Harry and Maxwell evidently had in common, as if mutual interest in Quidditch was enough to base a relationship on. The final clincher was when they spoke about kids.
"Must be nice to get the kids unloaded off to Hogwarts, huh?"
Maxwell asked, a stupid grin on his face.
"I've got two of my own, and that's the best part of parenting, getting them off to let the teachers deal with them. Luckily, they spend most of their time on holidays at their mum's or grandparents' house. I don't know what I'd do with them all that time."
That last bit is enough to finally disgust Hermione as well, so she doesn't argue when Harry pushes away his pint and stands up.
"And with that, I'm done here. Maxwell, I'd say it was nice meeting you, but it'd be a lie. Your kids deserve better, and I'm glad your ex seems to be exactly that. Hermione, Ron, I'll talk to you later. But Hermione?"
She looked up, a plea of forgiveness visible in her eyes.
"No more. I'm not interested in meeting anyone new right now, understood?"
Maxwell sat sputtering next to Harry, but Harry just glared.
"Especially not assholes like this guy."
Hermione nodded, and Ron looked relieved. Harry stepped around the table and kissed her on the cheek.
"I appreciate the sentiment, but it's not needed right now. I promise."
"Night, Harry," she murmured. "And I'm sorry. He wasn't such a fuckhead in the office."
Harry laughed.
"I'd hope not."
He looked at Ron.
"Night, mate."
Then practically ran for the door. It took him about 2 minutes to get to an alley to apparate away, but then he was home, and then through the flue, and then in Draco's arms. The place he'd wanted to be the entire evening.
"That great, huh?" Draco asked, sounding amused. "I thought you loved going out with your best friends."
Harry groaned. "Hermione tried to set me up with some dickhead named Maxwell."
Draco choked.
"Maxwell, from legal records? Fuck, that guy's an asshole and a half."
Harry nuzzled his nose into Draco's neck.
"Can we not talk about him, please? I need you. Remind me why we're doing this, and that it's worth not telling them.
Draco skimmed his hands down Harry's neck and back, grabbed onto his arse, and set to work. Harry's mind nearly went blank, but he had to agree. It was worth it.
December 31st, 2020, 10 p.m.
So then, Draco says...
Harry pauses to draw out the punchline.
Well, Mother, if the elf can't handle it, what makes you think I can?
Everyone bursts out laughing, and Draco blushes. Harry wants to reach over and nuzzle his cheek, but instead pushes out his fist and playfully punches Draco's shoulder.
Yes, well, it's the truth. Libby is much more talented than I am.
Pansy rolls her eyes. Blaze offers his glass up for a toast, and Theo slaps Draco on the back. The good-natured insults, so common with the Slytherins, start to pour out, and Harry meets Neville's gaze in shared outsider amusement. Neville leans over and mutters to Harry,
It's weird being in this group sometimes, isn't it? It's been over 10 years, and I'm still not used to it sometimes. Must be even stranger for you, huh? For you and Draco.
Harry pulls back and raises his eyebrows.
Me and Draco?
Neville smirks.
Yeah, you've become good friends and all, so I assume you've been around his friends more. More than just me and Pansy, anyway.
Right, Harry says hurriedly. And Merlin, he's so sick of all this hiding shit. He's a terrible liar. The excuses he's come up with over the last year are embarrassing, really.
Definitely strange, he finally agrees.
July 2020.
Harry pushed harder, making Draco moan. He captured the man underneath him in a long kiss, quickening his thrusts.
Fuck, Potter, don't stop. I don't plan on it, Harry said, gasping.
He pulled Draco's leg up so he could get a deeper angle, and this time Draco shouted his approval.
Gonna come.
Merlin, yes, come for me.
Draco's eyes scrunched up, and Harry could feel his own bollocks tightening, a familiar, welcome tingle creeping up his back. His own climax was close, if only...
Dad, we're home! Where are you?
Lily's voice drifted up the stairs.
Dad?
Albus this time.
James, shut up! Dad is not upstairs shagging someone. It's Dad!
Draco's eyes flew open and met Harry's, and Harry froze in shock. They could hear feet on the stairs coming closer. They only had about a minute, depending on how quickly the kids were walking. Harry pulled out of Draco and rolled off him in a record time, his cock practically shriveling at the sudden arrival of his children, augmented by the cold air hitting his wet skin. Draco was similarly jumping out of the bed and running his hand through his hair.
"In the closet," Harry whispered urgently. "Quick!"
He couldn't find his boxers, so he skipped that step and yanked on his trousers from where they lay on the floor. He pulled a shirt from the chair over his head and then grabbed his wand to straighten the duvet. He fell on top of it with a book in his hands, right as the door flew open.
"Dad, we're home early. Mom got called away on an assignment, and Oliver said he didn't mind if we took the flu home a few hours ahead of time."
Lily looked around the room and at his book.
"You don't normally read in bed. Are you feeling okay? You look flushed."
Al and James stood in the doorway. Al looked concerned, but James's eyes narrowed and he smirked.
"Yeah, Dad. Are you feeling okay?"
The difference between 17-year-old James's reaction and 12-year-old Lily's was like night and day. James knew, and Harry had to redirect.
Just a bit of a stomach ache. Something I ate. Thought I'd lay down for a bit.
"Oh, that sucks," Al muttered. "Do you need anything?"
"Yeah, Dad. Do you want us to keep you company so you don't get lonely?"
James's eyes tracked to the closed closet door. Harry never closed his closet door.
"No, no. I'll be fine. Thanks, guys. Why don't you go get settled in and decide what you want to order for dinner? I'm sure I'll feel better soon enough, and maybe we can watch a movie tonight."
James opened his mouth to offer up some witty retort, but Harry shot him a glare.
Lily, however, was staring at Harry's chest.
"When did you get that jumper, Dad? I think Mr. Malfoy has one just like it."
James's eyes widened and he choked, but Harry ignored him.
I just really liked his, so I got myself one too. Do you like it?"
Harry looked down at the pale blue jumper that was totally not his color, and was about 2 sizes too small, so it stretched oddly across his chest.
"Not really," Lily answered. "You look better in earth tones."
She turned to Albus.
"Come on, Al. You promised you'd play Pokemon with when we got home."
She dragged him from the room, missing the sound of a thump that came from Harry's closet. James, however, did not.
"Something you want to share with the class, Dad?"
Harry raised a single eyebrow.
"No. Now go away if you ever want me to look the other way for you."
James grinned.
"Fair enough. You might want to cast an air freshening charm the next time you have a visitor, by the way. It positively reeks in here."
And with that, he closed the door behind him, and Harry let out a deep breath.
"Fuck."
He put up a quick silencing charm and locked the door, then stalked to the closet. "You can come out now." Draco stepped out, completely and impeccably dressed.
"You are a terrible liar."
"I know." Harry pulled him into his arms.
"James suspects something." Draco laughed. "James knows, and I'd expect he knows who. Will he keep it quiet?"
"He'll probably forget about it if there's nothing else to remind him." Harry leaned in for a kiss.
"Sorry about that." "Not your fault, though I've half a mind to pummel Oliver Wood."
Harry laughed, but it came out slightly pained.
"I think I'm going to take a cold shower. Are you okay getting out of here?"
Draco grinned and held up Harry's invisibility cloak he'd grabbed from the closet.
"I think I can manage."
December 31st, 2020, 10:45 p.m.
George and Angelina Weasley turn to look at Harry as he enters the kitchen to get another couple of bags of snacks to put out. He grins and waves.
"Don't let me interrupt you. Carry on."
Angelina grins and steps over to offer Harry a kiss on the cheek.
"Oh, Harry, you don't have someone to snog with in corners tonight. Why didn't you bring anyone to your own party?"
Harry laughs. "Too much work. I have to entertain, don't I?"
She shakes her head.
"You, my friend, do not need to entertain this crew. You need some Fanny. Or some Dick. Or both. George?"
"No," Harry interrupts. "I love you guys, but no. Whatever it is you're offering, no."
George bursts out laughing.
"She's not offering us, Harry.
Though..." He pauses to run his eyes up and down Harry's body.
"I can't say that's not an interesting idea."
Harry feels his face flush, and Angelina giggles.
"Oh, Harry, you're so cute. Still, after all this time. Go on, go find someone to hook up with. I hear Malfoy came alone, too."
Harry simply raises his eyebrows at the suggestion, and she backs off.
"Fine, fine. No Malfoy either. I bet he'd be wild in bed, though."
Harry wants to laugh.
She has no idea.
Instead, he grabs his bags of snacks and heads back into the fray of the party. He greets friends, exchanges pleasantries, then approaches the food table from behind. On the other side are Draco and a couple of his friends. Zabini seems to be interrogating him.
"What about that bloke from Legal? Max something? He's positively delicious. An arse, sure, but that's all you'll need for a quick pull."
"Blaze, fuck off," Draco says, blandly.
Harry grins to himself. At least it's not only his friends. Thank goodness it's about to end, though, as it isn't always funny.
September 2020.
The evening started pleasantly enough. Draco had plans for the night, and Ron had to work, so Harry decided to take Hermione out for a nice dinner, just the two of them. It wasn't often they got time to themselves, and he missed her insights. She was the closest thing he'd ever have to a sister, and he loved her wholeheartedly.
Hugo seems to be settling in well in Hufflepuff, but I think he still thinks Ron's going to tease him.
She took a bite of her salad.
How long did it take Al to adjust to the idea of Slytherin? Do you remember?
Harry thought back to Ginny's surprise and Harry's casual acceptance of the sorting of their middle child.
Well, he seemed okay with it after a week or two, but it took James and Ginny about a month before they realized they needed to be more openly supportive. After that, it was good. Do you want me to talk to Ron?
She seemed to consider, then shrugged.
If you think it'll help, sure. Hugo's so sensitive about these things.
Harry nodded. His nephew wore his heart on his sleeve. It made Harry want to protect him. The waitress came and cleared their salad plates. As she refilled their drinks, Harry's eyes drifted around the room, then froze. Draco had said he was having dinner with his mother for the evening, but there, across the room, was Draco sodding Malfoy. And he was on a date. There was no other interpretation of what he was seeing. They were both dressed nice, Draco in a smartly cut suit, and the woman, in a cocktail dress. She was flirting and touching Draco's hand and laughing. Draco was letting her touch him, and he was laughing and tossing back his fringe in that way that Harry loved. Hermione was saying something to him, but the blood rushing in his ears prevented him from hearing.
Harry, are you okay? Harry, you're pale suddenly.
Hermione finally caught his attention, and he looked back at her, trying to steady his breathing. He had to get out of here, but he couldn't let her know why. Gods, he was so glad they hadn't told anyone now, because he felt like such an idiot. Draco lied to him, and he was out on a date with some woman, and...
I think I need to go home, Hermione. I feel really sick.
Hermione's eyebrows furrowed in concern.
Of course. Hold on.
She flagged down the waitress and handed over some money, then stood and took Harry's arm.
Come on, let's get you home.
Harry barely remembered the trip, the memories of Draco letting the woman caress his arm, and of his laughing replaying in his mind. Hermione got him settled in at Grimmauld, and on his insistence, left him to himself.
Dinner with Mother, Harry muttered, pacing the floor. He felt entirely sick, the sting of betrayal infusing every thought. Gods, I'm such an idiot!
He had no idea how much time had passed before the flu signaled downstairs, and he heard Draco calling to him. Harry thought he was going to be sick. Draco entered the room, a smile on his face, then stopped. His face fell and twisted in confusion.
Harry, what happened? What's wrong?
He stepped forwards and tried to take Harry in his arms, but Harry backed away.
Don't touch me right now. I can't handle it.
Okay, Draco said, carefully and calmly, as though he were approaching a rabid animal. And maybe he was. Maybe that's why Harry felt this way. Maybe there was something wrong with him.
So, how was your evening with your mother? Harry bit out. Enjoyable. You seemed in a good mood when you came in.
It was lovely, actually.
Harry, what's going on?
Harry barked out a laugh.
Lovely. You're going to just stand there and continue lying to my face, then?
Draco's eyes narrowed, and his voice grew cold.
Well, you're in a fucking mood tonight, then. And I'm not lying. I had a lovely dinner with my mother, and then she insisted I take a friend of hers out for drinks and a dessert. I assume she thought she was setting us up on a date, but seeing as how both her friend, a woman, I might add, and I are gay, it clearly wasn't going to work.
Draco started pacing.
Not to mention I'm fucking in love with someone else, so I'm not interested in whomever she thinks she's setting me up with. Though given the reception I'm being given by that someone else, perhaps I should just leave.
Harry's jaw dropped, and he felt a flood of guilt only augmented by the random declaration.
In love?
Draco stopped pacing and stared at Harry, incredulous.
Yes, you fuckhead, in love. What the hell did you think I was doing here, with you, playing fucking games? I fucking love you, though Merlin knows why. Did you think I was cheating on you? What the hell is wrong with you?
Harry just shook his head. Draco loved him. He loved Draco, had known it for months, but he was afraid to say something, that he'd pushed Draco away.
"I love you too," Draco rolled his eyes.
"Yes, I know. I've known for months. I just was waiting for you to say it first. But then you go and pull this shit tonight."
"I didn't know what to think. I didn't think you'd cheat on me, but there you were. And she was flirting, and you were laughing, and she touched your arm, and I couldn't think straight."
Draco took a deep breath and stepped closer. He put his hand under Harry's chin, pulling his face up so Harry would meet his eyes.
"Harry, these last few months have been what I've always been looking for. You're it for me."
He paused, and his voice got so quiet that Harry could barely hear him.
"I'll love you till the day I die."
Harry could feel the tears gathering in his eyes. The evening had turned out so completely different than anything he'd expected. He captured Draco's mouth with his own and could taste the tears falling between them. He ran his tongue along Draco's lips, and when Draco let him in, he tasted everything he'd ever wanted. Draco tasted like home.
"Gods, I love you. I'm so sorry. I don't normally get jealous, but I didn't know what else to think."
Draco nodded.
"I know. But next time, trust me. You could have just come over and greeted us. You would have saved us both some grief."
"But then I wouldn't know you love me."
"Till the day I die."
"Till the day you die," Harry repeated, stunned, then pressed his lips to Draco's eyes.
"Till the day I die."
And he meant it. Merlin, did he mean it? December 31st, 2020, 11:30 p.m. Harry approaches Draco where he stands in the corner talking to Pansy. Draco's gray trousers and black button-up make Harry's mouth water. He looks so fucking hot tonight.
"Potter," Draco drawls, his eyes sparkling. "Can we help you?"
Harry grins. "Pansy, do you mind if I steal your friend here for a bit? I need his help with something." Pansy raises her eyebrows, but Draco shrugs and she nods.
"No dueling,"
she adds as they walk away, and Harry laughs.
"Harry, what are you doing?"
Draco asks when Harry pauses in the middle of the dancing couples.
"I'm dancing with my boyfriend," Harry says quietly,
and the song changes. A gentle guitar pours out, accompanied by a woman's soft voice singing a classic song.
"When the night has come and the land is dark."
Harry takes Draco in his arms, one hand in Draco's and the other around his waist, and they start to dance, slowly making their way across the floor. Harry ignores the others around them, barely noticing they have stopped dancing and are watching. Harry only has eyes for Draco and the slight smile on the other man's lips.
"If the sky that we look upon should tumble and fall, and the mountains should crumble to the sea."
The room is silent but for the song. The fairy lights twinkling above them make it all seem otherworldly.
"No, I won't be afraid. No, I won't be afraid. Just as long as you stand by me."
"Till the day I die," Harry murmurs when the music ends. He pulls back, squeezing Draco's hand before letting go. He grins at the people watching.
"Hey, come on, dance. Hermione, darling, get over here. It's your turn."
Hermione narrows her eyes, but grins as the song changes to a Weird Sisters song popular when they'd all been in school. Everyone shakes off the strangeness they'd just witnessed and starts dancing.
"You have some explaining to do, Harry,"
Hermione says in his ear, making him laugh.
"Soon, love, I promise."
December 2020.
Oh my God, we made it. Draco grabbed Harry's hand and pulled him into Neville's coat closet. 1 fucking year. Harry groaned into Draco's mouth, then turned his head, letting Draco move down his neck. You doubted it? Draco chuckled, rubbing his beard across Harry's collarbone in that way that he knew made Harry hard. Not really. Something just felt right from that first night. This time last year, I honestly had no idea you were about to sit down next to me and change everything.
What are we doing at this damned party? Why aren't we home shagging and celebrating?
Draco laughed and lifted his face to rest his forehead to Harry's. Because we were stupid and decided we'd hide this until New Year's Eve. Besides, we can't tell this lot before we tell the kids.
Harry agreed, his lips pressed to Draco's.
He gave a little lick and a sigh, then stepped back.
Then we'd best get out there and show off what wonderful friends we are, and that there's nothing else going on.
Draco groaned. You don't think that Prophet article last week convinced them enough? I mean, according to them, we're best mates.
Harry grabbed Draco's arse and reached for the doorknob.
You go first, mate. I'll be out in a minute, when I'm a bit more presentable.
Draco looked down and saw Harry's problem outlined in his jeans.
I hope you don't have that problem with your other mates, Draco said, and checked to make sure no one was watching as he exited the cupboard.
Draco, over here!
Someone yelled as Draco closed the door. He took a deep breath and went off to mingle.
December 31st, 2020, 11:55 p.m.
It's time, everyone!
Hermione's voice, augmented with a sonorous charm, echoes through the house.
Gather in the sitting room for the countdown!
Draco looks around the room, his heart thumping in his ears. He notices Pansy and Neville enter the room, Pansy cuddled under Neville's arm, her head tucked into his neck. On the sofa, Oliver Wood and a visibly sober Ginevra talk animatedly to Thomas and Finnegan. Abbott and her wife, Bones and her husband, Macmillan, Finch Fletchley and his wife, and Corner laugh together and chat near the fireplace. George Weasley, Angelina Johnson Weasley, and one of the older Weasley brothers that Draco doesn't really know, but can appreciate wholeheartedly, are talking over the din and fiddling with the wireless, adjusting the music to the WWN's countdown. Draco ignores the people he doesn't really recognize. They're likely unimportant anyway. And finally, his eyes find Harry, entering through the doorway leading from the stairs. It's dark, but Harry's practically glowing in the warm light of the room. Draco watches Harry's eyes drift across the crowd and then land on him, a slow smile spreading across his face. Harry makes his way through the room until, with 1 minute to spare, he reaches Draco and takes his hand.
Ready? Draco asks under his breath. I've been ready for months. Let's do this.
Harry squeezes Draco's hand as the people around them begin to count.
20.
19.
December 21st, 2020. Harry bit his thumbnail and looked at his children, sitting side by side on the sofa across from him.
Dad? Albus's voice sounded worried. What's going on? The last time you made such a big deal about something, you and Mum were getting a divorce.
Are you sick? Daddy, are you sick?
Lily's eyes began to well up with tears. James threw an arm around her and raised his eyebrows at Harry, but he reached his hand up and ruffled her hair.
No. If it was serious, Teddy would be here, right, Dad?
Harry laughed nervously and cleared his throat.
Right. Sorry, guys, it's not like that, I promise. And Teddy could be here if he wanted, but, well, he had to work, and this doesn't really affect him much.
Affect? Al's voice sounded panicky now. Fuck, he was totally screwing this up.
Not like that, Merlin. Okay, I'm just going to say it. I've been seeing somebody.
The kids just stared at him in silence, as if waiting for him to get to the point. Then Al choked.
Is she pregnant?
What? No! Harry's face grew hot.
Then why is this such a big deal?
Lily asked, sounding curious. James remained quiet, but he got a smirk on his face and just waited for Harry to struggle through it. He seemed to be enjoying himself now that no one was worried.
Well, because it's kind of serious. We've, actually been kind of serious for about a year now, and...
A year? Al jumped up in shock. A year? And you haven't told us? What the hell, Dad? Didn't you trust us?
Albus Severus, that's enough.
Harry's voice grew stern.
Sit down and let me talk.
But Dad, I don't...
Now.
Al sat down, but looked sullen. It was like looking in a mirror sometimes with that kid. Karma was a bitch. Harry took a deep breath.
Look, we both have kids, and we didn't know how well this would work. We've kept it secret from everyone to give ourselves some time to figure things out, and to not disrupt your lives if it didn't work. And, well, it's definitely working, so you're all the first to know.
He met each kid's eyes now, and let it all sink in. Lily looked worried and apprehensive. Albus looked disappointed, as if Harry had crushed his dreams. And James still looked amused. He really was a Weasley, delighting in chaos.
"Do you have any questions before I continue?" Harry asked quietly.
"Lils?"
"What if they don't like us?"
Lily asked quietly.
"And is it a man or a woman?"
Harry gave her a gentle smile. "It's a man, and he'll like you, I promise. He already likes you." Al interrupted.
"We know him?"
Harry nodded. "Yeah. You look disappointed, Al."
I'd hoped that you and Scor..."
He took a deep breath.
"Never mind. Whatever. It was stupid."
James snorted. "Dad, maybe you should tell us all who it is. Maybe that'll help." Harry wanted to roll his eyes. He stood up and started to pace.
"Right. So,
And of course, before he could get it out, the flute chimed and Scorpius Malfoy stumbled from the fireplace. He ran up to Harry and threw his arms around him. It was the first time Harry had ever received a hug from the younger Malfoy, but it was like hugging one of his own boys.
"Scorp?"
Al asked, confused. Scorpius turned and laughed, then jumped over the coffee table and on top of his best friend.
"Isn't it awesome? It's just like we talked about."
"What the hell are you on about?" Al asked, then looked at Harry.
"Dad, what's he talking about?"
Harry laughed and slumped back in his chair.
"It's Mr. Malfoy. The guy I'm seeing."
Lily squealed, jumped up and landed in Harry's lap.
"That's so wonderful, Dad! I love Mr. Malfoy!"
James grinned.
"About time you came clean. Honestly, that shirt..."
"Shut it," Harry warned, and James quickly shut his mouth with a grin.
"But," Al was saying, practically stuttering, "you said you're serious about him. You're serious about Mr. Malfoy? Like, for real?"
Harry smiled, but Draco's voice came from the doorway.
"For real." He looked at Harry. "It went well, then?"
"Well, I was fumbling it all up before Scorp came in here and fixed it."
Draco walked in and perched on the arm of Harry's chair, looking at the four kids, all settled back on the sofa.
"So would you all be open to spending Christmas together?"
The cheers were all they needed to hear. December 31st, 2020. 11:59:57 p.m.
3 2 1
Happy New Year!
Draco meets Harry's eyes and smiles, then leans in and captures his boyfriend, his now publicly acknowledged boyfriend, in a passionate kiss. He tunes out the noise around him and concentrates on the feel of kissing Harry openly, of claiming Harry, of being claimed. This kiss isn't a soft, Happy New Year kiss, but an I want to kiss you forever kind of kiss. It says, quite plainly, I'll love you till the day I die. And it says it loud and clear for everyone to hear. And as Draco lets Harry explore his mouth, as Draco lets out a groan, he doesn't care that the room goes quiet and then roars with noise. He doesn't care whether he hears groans of annoyance, though he's sure there are a few, or cheers of delight. He thinks there are quite a lot of those. He only cares that it's a new year, and in this new year, he and Harry can kiss each other in the broad daylight. They can be together, no more hiding, no more friends and family setting them up, no more excuses about why they're busy. Just them, together, surrounded by their loved ones. Happy. Draco pulls back and looks into Harry's sparkling green eyes.
Ready?
Till the day I die. Their friends descend upon them. Questions are shouted, good-natured harassment is doled out, and galleons, resulting from multiple wagers, it seems, are exchanged. And through it all is Harry. It's a new year, and they'll be entering it together.